You need to, you, companies need to have this compliance program or have visibility into their data almost at their fingertips. So those are the things that get me excited and rather fired up.
That was Vince Walden, CEO of Kona AI. This is Tom Fox. Welcome to Data Driven Compliance, the newest addition to the Compliance Podcast Network. In this podcast, we will discuss how to use data to improve and enhance the effectiveness of your compliance program, creating greater business efficiency, all leading to more return on investment for your compliance program. Join host Tom Fox as he explores how data will drive your compliance program to the next level. This podcast is sponsored by Kona AI. And now a word about Kona AI. Kona AI is the leading AI-driven solution for anti-corruption, risk, and compliance professionals. Our easy-to-use software and flexible, secure deployment models drive fact-based decisions that focus on the risk areas that matter to the regulators and your business. Whether you are looking for a solution that sits in the cloud or on-premises, Kona AI returns lost money to your company's balance sheet and spots high-risk payments to third parties in half the time and half the cost. Conduct better evidence-based risk assessment. Reduce investigations costs. Enable your compliance team to present risk in a timely, data-driven, fact-based manner. Register for your free demo at konaai.com or email info@konaai.com. My first guest on this podcast is Vince Walden, and I'm very excited to bring Vince to you. He's been in the compliance and data analytics space for quite some time. I know you'll enjoy this inaugural episode of Data Driven Compliance. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to have Vince Walden for our first episode of Data Driven Compliance. Vince, I'm so excited that we're getting ready to start this series with you and Kona AI. So a huge welcome from Texas.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be back, and I'm so excited that we'll be doing this show together.
Vince, before we get into some of the meat, I have to start with you did an incredibly brave thing, which is you left your day job.
Quit my day job.
And went to a startup, literally your startup, which is Kona AI. So I wanted to maybe just start with asking you about, number one, how did you find the courage to do that? But more importantly, tell us a little bit about Kona AI and why you see this as truly a cutting edge innovation for the compliance professional.
Let me give you this story. I think the audience will find this, if not comical, but interesting as well. I've been a consultant all my life, starting back from the days of Arthur Anderson. And I've been doing white collar crimes, forensic investigation, specifically with a focus on forensic data analytics, which has been my passion for the last 15 years. And I left, and again, I was with Ernst & Young for many of those years, almost 10 years as a partner, helping lead their forensic data analytics practice, helping companies build this proactive compliance monitoring program as a consultant. And in fact, most consulting firms, in fact, all the big four and even the boutiques have some sort of forensic data analytics capability that they use both for investigations and nowadays, proactive compliance monitoring. And I worked on some of the big engagements. A lot of people know Anheuser-Busch's BrewRite platform, which was one where it's highly talked about, but along with many others. But when I left Ernst & Young to onto greener pastures, you could say, to try my luck at a company called Alvarez & Marsal, which again, many people know is a turnaround firm. But I had no forensic technology platform at the time. And so I went to one of my founders, who's now the lead investor of Kona AI, and my friend Anil Kona. And I said, Anil, can you build me my dream platform? It's everything that I've wanted to do, but was missing in the consulting world, but can do and fix with machine learning and with all the algorithms that we need in for a hosted managed service solution. And I said, by the way, I can't pay you. I can only pay you per project. And by the grace of God, we did this. We started this project in late 2019 and in 2000. And lo and behold, we built a solid product that I was using as a consultant at Alvarez & Marsal, and which they still do. And a shameless plug, Alvarez still calls it their A&M Digital Twin project, and clients still use it as a service. But after 2022 came around, I realized, wait a minute, we've really got something here. This is really good software. And companies can't, most companies don't want their data, especially their financial and transactional data, to leave their IT environment. Data privacy is hard and huge. And with a consulting model, clients always had to give me the data. And that's a big ask, not only from an IT, but just a logistics and privacy issue. Moving that much data around, spend data and transactional data every month to refresh the analytics, is very tedious. And so we needed to build what Kona AI is an on-premise platform to build advanced analytics and the compliance monitoring that aligns to the DOJ's expectations. And wow, this, once we started this back in mid-2022, when I left the consulting practice and joined as CEO of Kona, it was really exciting. And fortuitously, also my friend Matt Galvin, before he went to the DOJ, also left AB InBev. He was collaborating with MIT at the time under a grant from Anheuser-Busch InBev Foundation. And he needed a platform to run the engine of data analytics. And it just so happened Kona AI was the perfect solution for that, to educate on his, some of the research that he wanted to do with this data sharing consortium initiative. And so in 2022, in these last 4 months, we were working with several companies. In fact, 8 of them were a part of this research project with MIT to measurably demonstrate that when companies can collaborate together, their predictive model, their ability to identify and predict a potentially improper payment, can be 25% better when we're collaborating data versus companies working on it individually. And so again, that's a long-winded way of how we got here, but it's really exciting to be able to help companies fight global corruption with a really cool platform that can be deployed in-house. We're seeing demand be really high when, as we start out 2023.
Vince, you mentioned Matt Galvin and his work, your work with Matt at Brewright and his work with MIT, which led to Integrity Distributed. I was wondering if you could say a few words about that and how Kona AI works with Integrity Distributed.
Yeah. And first and foremost, so Integrity Distributed is a separate organization, actually nonprofit 501c. And obviously, since Matt left the DOJ, I think it was in September of last year, he is no longer active in that, whereas that is run by the board and MIT, and MIT professor and the board. But how, basically, if you think about what Kona AI is the on-ramp to that data set, where companies are collaborating without having to share. And the whole premise is, if companies can share the model attributes of what is an improper payment or a high-risk third party, rather than sharing underlying data, companies can share the algorithms or what were the tests that were hitting, what were the key issues, how's the model performance, and all the attributes of the predictive model. And they do that versus using a technique, a neural network technique, I think it was developed out of MIT, called split learning. And the white paper that's available, and we'll make it available to the podcast listeners as well, is on our website on konaai.com. But they can read the white paper that talked about this study, that when companies collaborate and can share the attributes, not the underlying data, in a split learning type model, they're able to anonymously gain insights from the model that will help each company's individual model perform better. And in our research, it was 25% better. But I really think it's probably going to, as more companies get involved and this data expands, I think it'll be the model, gosh, who knows how much better it's going to get. And more importantly, and some of the things that we're studying now with Integrity Distributed, what are the attributes of an improper payment? One of the normal tests is like round dollar payments. Okay, big deal. But what is the combination of payments that are perhaps, we're finding that among that cohort right now, the statistically anomalous or 3 standard deviations outside the norm, we call them anomalous payments, that seems to be recurring more often in the cohort versus individual companies. That seems to be the common theme among everybody, is that it's always statistically anomalous. There's all sorts of things that we can analyze now in the aggregate that will help us profile what is a high-risk payment. And member companies, who are participating in Integrity Distributed will gain access to what those variables are, so that they can take that back and benchmark their own compliance program, thus improving their.
Vince, let me turn the focus just a little bit to effective compliance programs. As recently as this week, the Department of Justice reminded us that they're looking to, quote, effective compliance programs, end quote. Now, this is not new. This is something I've heard you talk about for 15 years. From your perspective with data and data analytics, I've certainly been talking about it, and the DOJ has been talking about it. The bottom line is we're still talking about it 15 years later.
Yeah.
And so I was really wanted to use that as a way to introduce, how does Kona AI help companies meet that requirement that the DOJ has talked about as recently as this week, which is, what is an effective compliance program?
Yeah. And data analytics is always a topic at the conferences, except at the conferences, on social media, et cetera. Gaining insights into transparency in your data is paramount to an effective compliance program. And I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But getting companies to commit resources to it, it needs to be cost effective. And back in the consulting days, I would say it was rather expensive, especially to have, when data had to be done continuously, the continuous monitoring part of it made it expensive because there were few on-prem solutions, if any, that could do such monitoring for compliance professionals. And so one of the things I talk to when I talk to companies is Kona AI helps do two things: keeps you out of trouble and makes your business better. And it's funny, for your compliance officers out there, compliance professionals out there, you're typically in the keep you out of trouble camp. You, and I would say you're responsible for managing risk and improving the compliance culture of the company, investigating issues, but ultimately it boils up to managing risks. When I talk to internal audit professionals, who also do a lot of risk, of course, but internal audit, procurement, finance, they're interested in making the business better. And again, everybody wants to do both, but there's some, depending on the department within the organization, some people lean towards making the business better. Because again, when you're analyzing $1 billion of disbursements to third parties, you're gonna find money, find hidden money, I call it. And so being able to make the business better by adding cash back onto the balance sheet and stopping improper payments or finding errors or stopping a corrupt payment before it's paid, that's all making the business better. Whereas also you're keeping it out of trouble. And depending on who the users are, if it's a compliance community, the main theme is keeping out of trouble. If it's an internal auditor finance commit team, it's make the business better. And I would encourage all compliance professionals to think about that from their audience perspective. Because data analytics platforms like this and the compliance monitoring platforms, it doesn't just have to be used for corruption or sanctions and trade compliance or even fraud. It's to make the business better as well. But compliance professionals are now being looked at to help spearhead initiative around business transparency, especially into their third parties or their employee activities, and sometimes even in their distributors. So that's one theme as to why it's being more popular in organizations, because now the cost has gone down. Saying it's too expensive now is no longer, this is not millions of dollars as back in the days of BrewRite was. This is less than the cost of typically one full-time payroll person in your compliance program is typically the cost of an annual license. So that's how Kona AI fits in the play.
So I say effective compliance equates to more efficient business processes, which equates to greater profitability or ROI. So perhaps we can wed both of those concepts together in this going forward. Vince, I wanted to turn to some of the key trends that you saw from your perspective in 2022, or some of the lessons we learned from enforcement actions or other information from the Department of Justice, and to lead to what are some of the key trends going forward for 2023. And we're going to save a little bit of time for the announcement by Kenneth Polite on the changes in the corporate enforcement policy. But before this week, what did you see which you thought gave us some trends for where we need to be heading in the year going forward?
As a compliance technology software provider, the best marketing document piece that I could never write would be the DOJ's June 2020 guidance on components of an effective compliance program, where it's, do you have access to relevant sources of data? Or are you conducting monitoring not only at the beginning of the relationship, but throughout the lifespan of the third-party relationship? All the language in that guidance, going back to June 2020, right during the COVID pandemic, Jay was saying, look, this is an important aspect of an effective compliance program. And most compliance professionals still look to that guidance. Now, 2022 was also a big deal. It was really interesting news that Matt Galvin went to the DOJ. He was one of the biggest compliance professional proponents of using data analytics in one's compliance program. And it was really exciting to see him go to the DOJ last September. And I think that was a big wake-up call or a big what? People, compliance professionals were like, wow, that's a big deal. So I think that was, again, showing, I think, under Polite's leadership that DOJ wants to hire, he's from compliance, he wants to bring in compliance professionals and get their perspectives. Even last year, back in March, the topic of compliance officers having to personally sign off on their effectiveness. He gave at Compliance Week's speech last May in Washington, D.C. I'll never forget this. He said, he told a story, and Tom, I think you were there, you might have saw, he told the story of he was sitting across a, and in that company, again, for an FCPA violation, and DOJ was investigating this company, and it was the general counsel, the CEO, the chief compliance officer, and their outside counsel. And Kenneth Polite asked the compliance officer, looked him dead in the eye, and said, how effective do you think your compliance program is? And outside counsel and the general counsel went to the CCO and said, don't answer that. And at that point, and this was his speech, and at that point in his mind, he knew that company was there. They were in big trouble. And it basically says that said it all. Basically, the compliance officer didn't have any juice. If he can't even answer or account for, in this case, his own compliance program, what value, how strong is that? And I think that was one of the spirit, that was the spirit behind personal sign-off. Now, again, there's an argument, pros and cons, and I don't want to get into that. But that was, that started the 2022 roll-up of what we now see. Even this week, we're in January, the week of January, but 15th. On Tuesday the 16th, Polite gave that speech at Georgetown, which basically summarizes that if you self-disclose, and again, I interpreted self-disclose and could demonstrate an effective compliance program, then we may not prosecute. And what does that mean from an analytics perspective? Companies, if you're choosing whether to self-disclose or not, you need to know quickly if you have a problem or not, which means you need to have access to your data quickly to find out if you have a problem or not. That's why having an application, an on-prem, being able to look up vendor, being able to quickly pull transactions, run them through a library of corruption and fraud tests, or even look at your predictive model and see if they are similar to what, but see if they meet the profile of an improper or corrupt payment. Being able to do that quickly will make all the difference in determining whether you need to disclose or not. I was talking to a company last week, and it was a very frustrating, sad story. They're like, yes, we love this platform. We want to implement it. IT won't do anything until next year. And again, we're at January 2023 right now. So that they're saying IT can't schedule it until January 2024. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be around next year to help you. But heaven forbid DOJ asks you that same question that I did, is do you have transparency into the data? And they tell DOJ, you know, we'll get back to you in next year when we can get IT to schedule it. It was like, that's not going to fly. Companies need to have this compliance program or have visibility into their data almost at their fingertips. So those are the things that get me excited and rather fired up.
Now let's move directly to the Polite speech of this week around the amendments to the corporate enforcement policy. And Vince, I thought the key was the following, that the DOJ will assess a company's conduct. Number one, if they self-disclose, it still turns on a self-disclosure. But from there, it is, did they have an effective compliance program, which the DOJ and Polite defined as having the controls in place to pick up an illegal act. And that's at the time of the incident in question, not at the time of remediation or at the end of the enforcement process where you sign off on your settlement or resolution documents. And this is the first time we've heard the DOJ say, we're going to look at effectiveness as to whether you picked it up.
Yeah.
And to me, that seemed to put a lot more, to do two things. One, it put a lot more pressure on compliance programs to do that. But the carrot was, and I believe Polite used the word investment, that if a company makes the investment to have that kind of internal system, whether it be speak up, whether it be controls, whether it be data analytics in place, that the reward can literally be hundreds of millions of dollars in reduced fines. If it's a catastrophic event, but even if it's, say, routine, 50 to 100 million, if you can get 50 or 75% off, that's real. And yeah, that's a significant return on your investment. So I wanted to maybe use that as a way to introduce the question to you. How did you see the Polite speech? How did you see his using of the term, we want to see investment in compliance? How should the compliance practitioner utilize that information going forward?
It's interesting. Investment in compliance, it no longer, and I think you'll see this, and DOJ knows this, it's no longer cost prohibitive. And let me repeat that. It's no longer cost prohibitive. Saying this costs too much money isn't going to fly anymore. And again, Matt Galvin did a great job at the ACI FCPA summit last December, when he said, look, if your company is you're a Fortune 500 global company, and you are known in your space as a technology driven, if you're I don't want to name any specific companies because he didn't, but if you're a technology based company and you're known in marketing for AI, you're using AI in product development and R&D, and you're leading in that practice, and your compliance department is paper based or in Excel or not using any type of the same type of sophistication, that is going to be definitely noted. And that was whereas if you're a super low risk, not global, et cetera, maybe you don't need to have that. Okay. But if you're a company that is high tech or in technology and using technology in the company, the compliance department is not immune from using technology. And heaven forbid, this hasn't been said, if you don't know, and again, most compliance don't know, and up until a year ago, I didn't know, but what's your F1 score? And most compliance are going to be like, what? What's your F1 score? Someday I would predict, again, this is just Vince saying it, the DOJ is going to look at you, heaven forbid you're asking, and they're going to say, what's the result of your predictive model? What's your F1 score, which is a measure of precision and recall in terms of how well are you able to predict or identify a potentially improper payment or a transaction to a third party using the statistical model that you have in place in your company? And you're going to say, and if you say, we don't have a statistical model, we're not using any type of modeling. And they'll look at your company. Aren't you a leader in AI technology, or aren't you a leader in manufacturing technology and you're not using AI for compliance monitoring? That's strange. And that's an incongruency. And again, oh, it was too expensive. No, it's not. It costs the same as about a mid-level compliance professional. So that doesn't fly anymore. So what is it then? And again, that's why, again, I get so passionate. I'm on my soapbox kind of saying, look, guys, this is out there. It's available and it's cost effective. You can have these predictive models there and get the ROI, which, by the way, we're still in the keep you out of trouble discussion. That's the polite world. But you can still find hidden money, and systems often pay for themselves because you're finding stuff and hopefully stopping a payment before it goes out the door. So that was the point on ROI. And I know that's a long answer, but I think what the DOJ is saying now is it's not cost prohibitive. They can't directly say this, but it's not cost prohibitive. It's rapidly deployable. And if you're in a high tech, if you're a Fortune 50 company, I guarantee you, you're using AI. Most likely, if you're in the Fortune 500, you're using AI. You have an expectation that compliance is somewhat mature in how it's using technology. And it may not be, could be using it in other places as well, but it may not be in necessarily third party risks or distributor risks. But you need to be thinking about how are we being sophisticated in line with their expectations as you think about your 2023 goal.
Vince, I'd like to conclude this episode with a discussion about what we both hope to achieve with this podcast, data-driven compliance. This is very much a collaborative podcast with myself and you and Kona AI. And from my perspective, what I want to bring is the cutting-edge data analytics approach that you, your customers, and colleagues have developed to the rest of the compliance world. Just as you said, many are still using spreadsheets. Hopefully they're not on SharePoint anymore, but they might be. But it extends beyond their company to what the corporate roundtable calls stakeholders. It could be third parties. It could be localities. It could be a wide variety of people other than simply their employees. So I was wondering what you hope to get out of this podcast. What do you want to communicate, and how do you want to use this podcast to really get on your soapbox and evangelize about data-driven compliance?
Thanks, Tom. And what I'm hoping to get out of this is not about me. I want to get the leaders and of companies in compliance professionals who are doing this, who are being successful in doing this, as well as maybe the consultants and the advisors and the attorneys who are also advocating for this. And I'd love to have you talk about and hear their stories and their success stories and their pitfalls to avoid. This is not something that happens overnight. But it doesn't happen over 6 months either. It can happen over 1 to 2 months. Getting this on board and mature and the team running is now table stakes. It's possible. And I would love to hear, I want to help you get the right speakers of compliance professionals talking about how they were able to do it. It's funny, for the last 4 years, I write column in Fraud Magazine, which is the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners magazine. So all the ACFEs get it. And it's been so fun talking to people over the years about their innovations in compliance and fraud detection and prevention. And I want to use this show with you as a means to get those stories out and hopefully inspire the audience to take some steps. Again, the risk is relatively low to do it. The risk, I think, is relatively high nowadays if you don't do it.
Vince, I can't think of a better way to end this. But before we leave, if anyone wanted more information on yourself, on Kona AI, or really any of the topics we've touched on today, we're going to link to the paper you referenced in our show notes. But what would be the best place for them to go or to?
Again, I love, for your audience, I mean, this is my audience too. I love this community. Please reach out to me on LinkedIn, Vincent Walden, or you can even email me at vwalden@konaai.com or visit our website, www.konaai.com. You can also download the white paper there, request so you can see a demo of the platform, request a demo, but I'm happy to help and have a conversation.
Vince, I'm so excited about this podcast. When I reached out to you last year to pitch it to you, I don't know if it was 15 or 30 seconds before you said, I'm in.
Yeah.
So
you, Tom, it's a no-brainer. You're the voice of compliance.
This is something that I've been thinking about a while, and I really want to get this message out to the compliance community. So thank you again.
Thank you.
This is Tom Fox again. Thank you so much for listening to this inaugural episode of Data Driven Compliance. If there are any topics you would like to explore in this most unique podcast series, you can reach out to me at tfox@tfoxlaw.com. I'd love to engage with you and help you in your journey through the use of data, data analytics, and AI in your compliance program. We are the only podcast for the compliance professional talking about these topics, so I hope you will join us again for our next episode. Data Driven Compliance is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network.